All right. Well, good evening, everyone. It is 5:31 p.m. on Tuesday, March 2nd, 2021. I'm Commissioner Brian Crotius, joined by Commissioner Randy Christman. This is a public input session on case number PU-20-379. It's a filing by Montana Dakota Utilities for a proposed gas rate increase. So we have a rate case before us, and as a part of the rate case, we do public input sessions to hear from members of the public and hopefully get their thoughts on the proceeding as we go through this. Just a couple of pieces of bookkeeping, so to speak. One, this is not a question and answer session. This is a presentation that Montana Dakota Utilities will make. I believe Mr. Travis Jacobson will be starting off again for the company, but they will make a presentation. Following that presentation, we will take public input. For those wishing to voice their opinion, give their thoughts, you can call the commission at 701-328-4081, and we will get your call information, your phone number. And then at the end of the presentation by the company, we will call you back to hear what you have to say. We appreciate anyone who does wish to do that. Your thoughts and opinion on the matter is very important to the commission. So welcome to any members of the public that are listening in. Also, I believe, Matt, if I have this right, and Matt, you can't see him on the screen. He's our IT person. They can also, if they're on the phone line, dial *9 when you indicate that time has come, and we can connect with them as well that way, correct?
Yep, that's correct. Those on the public bridge, when we call for them, can dial *9 to give us a virtual hand raise, and we can see that they want to give some input.
Okay, but first we will hear from the company. But before we do that, Commissioner Christman, do you have any comments you'd like to make?
No, I do not have anything really to add at this point, except for anxious to. We've already heard what MDU is going to present for this public input session. We'll also be looking forward to a more in-depth period of testimony from them when we get into the case. So for right now, after they present, so that the viewers and listeners know more about the case. I'll just really be looking forward to getting information from the public. That's why we're here and have an evening session to make it more convenient, and look forward to that.
Very well said. Okay, with that, one other thing to note, Commissioner Julie Fedorchuk, the chair of the commission, is listening in as well. She is not at the commission office right now, but she is participating remotely. With that, Mr. Jacobson, you can begin.
Thank you, Commissioner Crotius. Matt, could I get control of the screen?
Yep.
While I'm waiting for that, I'll introduce myself, Travis Jacobson, and I'm with Montana Dakota Utilities Company. And with me tonight is Mr. Ron Eamon of Atrium Economics. And we've got just a short presentation. And if I can get it going here. So Matt, I think I clicked on the wrong screen. How do I switch back?
You can stop sharing your screen and then start it again.
Okay. No, I don't want to do that. Okay, looks like it's working now. So tonight, Ron and I will have a short presentation. We'll cover a little bit of an overview of MD Resources, the gas rate case itself, the proposed price increase, as well as some bill comparisons. I'll start with an overview of MD Resources. A lot of people are familiar with MD Resources, but don't really understand the structure. And so MD Resources is really comprised of three separate lines of business. The utility group, which is where Montana, Dakota, and Great Plains are a part of. Then there's WBI Energy, which is a regulated FERC pipeline transmission company. And then there's the non-regulated MDU Construction Services and Knife River. And they are in the construction materials and services area. To expand a little bit on the utilities, MDU Resources, our Montana Dakota Utilities Group covers 8 states with about 1.1 million customers. And we serve both gas and electric service in several of those states. In North Dakota, we serve both electric and gas. The Nicole Cabisto, who resides here in Bismarck, is the president and CEO of the entire utilities group. And we share a lot of resources between companies throughout our service territory. To focus in on our service territory in North Dakota, you can see on the map there, we serve a very broad area of North Dakota. And we have about 115,000 customers, and 99,000 of those are residential. And we serve in about 75 communities, and there are 518 employees for both gas and electric service in North Dakota. Now, specific to the rate case, as was mentioned, Montana Dakota filed an application in August of last year with a request of $9 million in annual revenue, which equates to a 7.8% overall return. Included in that application was the request to include Great Plains natural gas customers as a part of MDU, or Montana Dakota. As you may be aware, Great Plains serves Minnesota and only the town of Wahpeton. And for that reason, we'd like to just include them in with Montana Dakota's rates. And we updated that in February of this year and lowered the request from $9 million to $7.7 million or $6.7 million overall. The primary reasons for the increase are the increase in plant and service, essentially the infrastructure that we need to serve our customers. It's about $65 million more than our last commission review, and it's primarily to replace aging infrastructure and enhance reliability at the same time. Along with the increase in our infrastructure is an increase in operating expenses associated with those infrastructure additions. Now, when we get to our cost of gas, when we look at Montana Dakota's rates, it's really comprised of two primary components. First, on this screen, is the cost of gas. And generally speaking, we update our cost of gas every month. The changes in our price are passed dollar for dollar back to customers through a monthly adjustment clause. And there is no money earned by the utility on the cost of gas. I would note that we do not have any processing facilities, nor do we have any wells where we produce natural gas. We purchase gas from around 20 suppliers, and we utilize storage and transport that gas to our customers throughout our entire system. Interstate pipelines, we have a number of interstate pipelines that we also utilize to get the gas to our town border stations or our distribution system in those towns. The focus of the public input meetings today is the change in the distribution costs, and we have to have commission approval to make any changes to our tariffs, which are what we use to set our distribution prices. What we're requesting in this particular case is our cost of operating and maintaining the system. We also, I mentioned, we have safety additions and pipeline replacements, metering, customer service and billing. Those are all included in our distribution costs, and that is the focus of the case today. I mentioned safety. Beginning in 2017, the company undertook a more focused approach to system safety and integrity. Currently, we have about just under 3,000 miles of distribution pipe with 116,000 services in North Dakota. Approximately 25% of our pipe was installed prior to 1970. And while we do certainly maintain our pipe, the pipe is aging, and there are certain pipe that has been in the ground since the 30s. And as that pipe ages, it becomes more prone to failure. And our system safety and integrity is to focus on that component and to get the riskiest pipe out of the ground as soon as we can. A little bit more background on that. I mentioned we began in 2017. And between 2017 and 2019, we invested $11 million. And we're estimating an additional $43 million between 2020 and 2024 to maintain the system and ensure safe and reliable service. Now, before I turn it over to Ron, I just wanted to mention that Montana Dakota is able to leverage certain programs to help our customers that are low income or having problems paying their bill. At noon today, Gloria called in and she mentioned that she was on disability and her utility bills may at times be difficult to pay. So with that in mind, our customer service agents are very well versed in the programs that we are able to offer and helping customers in getting any kind of assistance that we are able to offer. And the phone number is on each bill that we send out, and we encourage, you know, all customers to utilize those programs to the extent that we're able to offer them. So with that, I'll turn it over to Ron. And again, Ron is with Atrium Economics, and he assisted in designing our price component within our rate case.
Thank you, Travis. This first slide indicates the increase that has been apportioned to the various customer classes. And as you can see, the largest percentage increase has been given to the residential Montana Dakota utilities class. The revenues collected from this residential class are currently less than the cost to provide utility service to the residential customers. Revenues collected from the larger customer classes are currently greater than the cost to serve them. A detailed cost of service study is conducted by the company to determine the cost responsibility for each class of service. However, rather than recommend a rate decrease for the large customer groups, the company has requested that all classes contribute to the overall revenue increase. You can see the overall increase there is 6.7%. This shows the updated residential prices for Montana Dakota utility service area. The increase to the basic charge of 18.22 cents per day is about $5.54 per month, depending on the number of billing days in the billing period. So you can see it's going from 68.60 per day to 86.82 in the proposed daily charge. And on an average monthly basis, that is an increase from $20.87 to $26.39. The basic service charge recovers the fixed costs of providing gas distribution service to the residential customers. The cost of gas, the component of the monthly bill that actually varies with usage, is $3.984 per decatherm, which is shown here. And again, the per month increase then for residential customers will average $5.54 per month, depending on the number of days in your billing period. And you can see visually the breakdown of the customer bill in that circular chart. Here we see the updated proposed residential bill changes for the Montana-Dakota service territory. Shown here is the typical monthly bills for an average residential customer that uses 88 decatherms per year. The average increase per month of $5.54, as I mentioned earlier, equates to $66.47 per year, an increase of 11.06% from the current price. This slide shows the updated residential prices for the Great Plains service territory. Here, the change to the basic service charge is being made to 25 cents per day, or about $7.60 per month, again, depending on the number of days in the billing period. We're moving from a average, just a plain average monthly basic service charge of $3.50, which is the current charge. The increase to the basic charge of about $4.10 per month recovers a portion of the fixed costs of providing gas distribution service to the Great Plains residential customers. There is a change to the current distribution charge from a two-stage charge to a single charge of 96.1 cents per decatherm for all usage. The cost of gas is $4.3408 per decatherm. The average increase per month, as you can see listed here, for a Great Plains residential customer is $3.66. This slide shows the updated proposed residential bill changes for Great Plains. It's a typical bill for an average residential customer that uses 80 decatherms per year. The average increase per month in the far column is $3.66, or about $43.87 per year. This is an increase of 9.3% from the current price. Because of the revenue increase to the basic service charge, the monthly bill increase, even in winter months, is less than $4. This chart shows the annual bill impact by type of customer, that is type of residential customer. It demonstrates the annual bill impact without the increase to the basic service charge for Montana, Dakota residential customers. It provides a side-by-side comparison of the bill impacts to both residential and low-income residential customers from collecting the proposed residential revenue increase in a usage-based delivery charge versus the proposed increase to the basic service charge. The bars on this chart show percentages of residential customers at different levels of bill impact amounts. And this is across the range of annual usage experienced by the residential customers. The gray bars indicate low-income residential customers. And in this case, that translates to those customers that are receiving LIHEAP billing assistance. Currently, there are about 2,700 residential customers receiving that assistance. The blue bars indicate the remaining residential customers. I'd like to make a few comments about this chart. First of all, the chart addresses a common perception of low-income customers, that being that they tend to be low-use customers as well. But the usage patterns of low-income customers are actually very similar to those of the rest of the residential class. In order to illustrate the impacts of having a no basic charge increase, you can see the bars to the right, of the $60 to $80 tall set of bars. Over 69% of the residential annual bill increases, including 34%, or about 920 low-income customers, would see increases larger than $80. About 7%, or 190 of the low-income annual bill increases, would exceed $120. Whereas only 10% of the annual low-income bill increases would be less than $40. By comparison, all residential customers would receive the annual increase of $66.47 that we mentioned earlier under the proposed basic service charge. Because the costs of providing utility service to all residential customers do not vary with usage, adding the proposed revenue increase then to the basic service charge is a fair distribution of the revenue increase across the residential class. Finally, under the proposed basic service charge increase, customers will be protected from high monthly bills during the winter months when usage is the highest. This chart shows the updated residential total bill for the last 10 years for the Montana-Dakota Utilities service territory. This is shown for a typical customer using 88 decatherms annually. You can see the change from 2011, and the bars are colored so that you see the basic service charge revenue in blue, the distribution charge in orange, and the cost of gas in gray. The distribution charge was changed in a rate case in 2015 to recover the distribution service costs in the basic service charge. And that went into effect in 2016. As you can see, there is no longer an orange bar. And this shows then the relationship between gas costs over that period of time and the increase to the basic service charge. This is an update of the residential total bill in the last 10 years for the Great Plains service territory. It's based on the typical customer that uses 80 decatherms per year. Here again, you see the transition over the course of years from 2011 through the current proposal, the basic service charge again in blue, the distribution charge in orange, and the cost of gas in gray. This particular slide shows three different types of historical bill comparisons. A low use, which in this case is 30 decatherms per year, a typical residential use of 88 decatherms, and a high use of approximately 200 decatherms. And you can see the transition from 2011, where the bars are in orange in each case, yellow for 2016. The current bars are green under current rates, and the proposed rates under red. Finally, we have a similar chart showing the low, typical, and high-use historical total bill for the Great Plains residential customers using the same colors representing 2011, 2016, the current rates, and the proposed rates for each category of usage. 29 for the low use, 80 decatherms for the typical use, and 160 decatherms for the high-use customer. And that's the end of our prepared presentation.
Thank you, Ron. And commissioners, thank you for the opportunity to present tonight. And we will turn the meeting back to you. Again, thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Hopefully that sheds some light. I know it for people that don't work with this type of thing, the general public, some of it is probably more challenging to follow. But some of the points, I think, are easy to follow as well. So in terms of what the company is asking for and some of the reasons for that. At this point in time, Matt, do we have anyone on the callback list?
Nobody on the callback list, but it looks like we do have somebody on the public bridge that would like to talk.
Okay, absolutely. Let's hear what they have to say.
All right. Looks like James Weigel. Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yep.
Hello? Well,
we can hear you.
I'd like to say, for a company that made $390 million last year, in easy numbers, it looks like they're asking for about $40 million a year from their customers. It really comes down to them somewhat related, shutting down a coal plant, using more gas, charging the customers more when they told us it would be cheaper. Instead, we're getting it on both ends. And you can't blame MDU for that because they're trying to make more money. That's what they do. But Public Service Commission should really see that and stick up for North Dakotans, especially Western North Dakota. Thank you.
Okay. Is this – and did I get the name right, James Michael?
James Weigel, sir. Thank you.
Weigel, I apologize. Okay, I believe if you're referring to the coal plant closures, that would be on the electric side, unrelated to the gas rate case, just I think an important point to make. But also a good point in that those things are important for us to review as well from an economic standpoint.
So you're saying that the electric uses different gas than the people who heat their homes? Because last couple weeks ago with the cold air, a lot of gas plants were shut down so people could heat their homes. I think it's one and the same.
In some ways it might be, but this case isn't related to the electric side. The Lewis and Clark and Heskett Station coal plants, I believe, would be the ones you're referring to in terms of the closures. They're on the electric side. They are being replaced with gas-generated electricity. That is true. But this is a separate division. It's regulated separately from the electric side. And just in fairness, I think it's an important point to make.
Right. I just know, and no offense to anybody, but my power was shut off during the cold spell for a short time because there wasn't enough available, because if you looked at any peaking plant data, almost none of them were running. So they could provide gas for electric, for gas homes. So really it comes back, and I know what you're saying and I understand, but it really comes back to the supply of gas. And now with the president not banning a lot of fracking, there will not be any more gas, or not as much as we'd hoped. Rates are going to go up and gas is going to be short. I really think we should look at things differently. Thank you.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. You're right that that the gas supply, whether it's going to electric generation or needed to heat homes, definitely is related. So I can really appreciate that remark. And the event of several weeks ago, I believe it was now, or a week and a half ago, underscored the very point that you're making, and I appreciate that very much.
All right. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Weigel. Do we have anyone else that would like to press? I should just say, for anyone listening, if you press *9 on your telephone, we will be more than happy to take your input. And I would also say, for anyone who is listening, sometimes this is a little different venue, if you will, than you may be used to. But your comments and your opinions are very, very important to us. We had an earlier session from noon to 1:30 to take public input. We have another one now, of course. And we do it for a very important reason. We want to hear from the public. We want to hear your thoughts. We have received hundreds of comments that have been emailed to us and also phone calls into the commission prior to this public input session. And we review each and every one of those. They're incredibly important. But if you're on the line and you would like to speak, we'd really like to hear from you. So again, *9. And Matt, do we have someone?
It doesn't look like it. And Stacy just confirmed nobody else is on the call list.
Okay. Well, I would like to keep the lines open for a little while, just to see if anyone else would join the call. Some folks may just be getting home from work as well, or had other commitments, and they may be jumping on shortly, so we'll certainly wait to give them an opportunity. And once again, for anyone listening, if you press *9, we would really like to hear from you. I would be more than happy to hear your thoughts, Commissioner.
Still not seeing any.
Okay. Well, I think we'll give it to.
Watch that, but they won't be able to comment or ask questions. They can watch the full hearing when people are.
They will be able to watch the full hearing when people are sworn in and go into really in-depth testimony.
Yeah, and that's a great point. And for those of you that heard Commissioner Chrisman, on Wednesday, the 17th of March, we will begin the formal hearing. That will be at beginning at 1 o'clock. We'll go till approximately, I have actually until 7 o'clock that evening. We will also continue into Thursday the 18th, and if needed, Friday the 19th as well. And that is an opportunity for the commissioners in particular as well as I believe we have one intervener. Well, I believe we have two, actually. Our Victor, is it one intervener on this case? Just one. Okay, so we have one intervener. They'll be able to ask the company questions as well. And then, but to Commissioner Christman's point, that's where the commission has the opportunity to really dig in and ask the tough questions of the company, and the company has to make their case for the rate increase that they're proposing. They brought that in front of the commission, which, as a regulated utility, they have the opportunity to bring a rate case before the commission at any time. We can also bring a regulated company, before the commission if we choose as well to have a rate case. But typically it's initiated by the company, which is the case with this proceeding. The company came before us, as Mr. Jacobson alluded to or mentioned earlier in his presentation. They presented the case, and by law, we review it and then have a rate case, and again, the formal hearing will be Wednesday, March 17th, 18th, and if needed, the 19th. So a very good point.
And people should be assured that when we have that full hearing, it'll be, you know, many times more in-depth than the half-hour presentation we heard from MDU this evening and earlier today. We have staff as well as some paid consultants that have already for quite a long time been poring over things, doing a thorough analysis of their books, their future projections of these pipeline systems that they propose to replace and those types of things. So it is a very thorough review. That's why it will take several days and will be done under oath. So people that are watching should know that it is thorough.
Yep. Very well said. And as you mentioned, we have staff that has been working since the application came in, as well as a consulting group that we hire through our advocacy staff. The advocacy staff at the commission, they're fighting for the consumers as well, and that's their job, along with the consultant. And then we take that information that they bring forth. They challenge the numbers, the assumptions, and in the end, we're balancing everything out with low cost of service. But at the same time, we also have to keep reliability and system safety in mind. So it's a balancing act, but certainly look forward to that hearing that begins approximately 2 weeks from now. Matt, any other people at this time that?
Nope.
Okay. Once again, for anyone listening, you can press *9. And Commissioner Christman, do you have thoughts on how long we should keep the phone lines open?
Well, I would think at least till a quarter after. I wouldn't object to if you wanted to go till 6:30, somewhere in there. As I think you've emphasized pretty well, if they want to call not right now, they can get right in without any waiting or delays. It's a great opportunity for people to offer their commentary on a very important rate case. Mm-hmm. Going to affect, as MDU stated, 116,000 customers. And as we've seen last week, these natural gas prices can get a little bit, not a little bit, can get quite volatile in times of shortage. And so these really are weighty issues, doing these pipeline replacements that are proposed, as well as the normal routine cost of continuing to provide service and continue to build out service in some of the communities that are experiencing growth.
And Mr. Weigel, who called in earlier, made a very good point. There is competition, whether it's on the electric side or whether it's gas to heat homes. There's certainly, and you're referring to the very same point as well, it's a competitive landscape. And when when we have weather extremes and you have different entities pulling at the system and the available supply, as we saw, prices do become quite volatile.
And James there, you know, his point is valid on the competition for that gas between between heating use and electric generation, and he pointed out further that, you know, we could have a lot of natural gas constraints with the Biden administration and some of the policies that have been discussed. And he's correct in that. But even in the current environment, and it's an interesting thing because we've kind of gotten used these last few years to talking about a nearly unlimited supply of gas. So how could the events of a couple weeks ago have occurred and caused such a problem when these two sectors were competing for the same gas? In this case, and while he's right, it may be gas shortages coming in the future. For now, while we have plenty of gas, what we don't have is plenty of pipelines. And, you know, so to continue to let this evolve does call into question that do we still have the ability in this country to build out the kind of pipeline infrastructure that will be necessary for future gas use? Now, I'm not talking about the kind of like in-city distribution kind of pipeline that MDU is talking about here, but I think he really provides good food for thought.
And the landscape has become increasingly more challenging. And if some of the proposals that the new administration has already implemented, as well as I think what you're referring to, the challenge of putting pipe in the ground due to groups that oppose that, we're not headed in a good direction, and it certainly has to be addressed.
Yeah, and it's been a while. In case we've picked up new listeners since the beginning. Commissioner Karashis, as portfolio holder, you've kind of been leading the discussion here today, but Commissioner Fedorchuk had another afternoon commitment, so while she might look absent on the screen, she's monitoring remotely and was here today for that public input session, but there are still three of us and all completely engaged in this process.
I'm just trying to decide. Matt, can you see if new individuals are joining the call? Do you get a count on your monitoring?
Yep, we currently still have the same three individuals.
Okay.
No more have asked to talk.
I think we will give it another 5 minutes. And I believe there is still the opportunity for public input to be provided beyond this particular session, so it isn't that the door is shut on that by any means. But this is a chance for the public to speak to the commission directly if they so choose. So why don't we leave the lines open until 20 after? And at that point in time, if we have anyone new join, we'll make a new time determination if needed, and if not, we'll conclude the public input session for this evening. So if everyone can bear with us and Steve or Victor, can you think of anything that you might be missing or we might be missing by chance?
I agree they can always call it.
On a positive note, a day like today, we had some very low energy costs in the marketplaces. So a day like today should have done at least a little bit to incrementally lower some of the costs that these utility companies are faced with of continuing to keep the heat on and the lights on a couple weeks ago when the incremental costs got so very high. So some encouraging news there too.
Yeah, very encouraging. We've certainly had a mild winter. I think the next round of bills that go out will be more pronounced, of course, because of the cold snap, but not unusual for North Dakota this time of year. I think today was a bit unusual in the fact that it hit 60 degrees. But I don't have any complaints other than I would really like to see a nice, heavy, wet snow and get some moisture in the ground here before too long. I know there is certainly concern on the farming and ranching side with the dry conditions. And as much as I don't like moving snow, I would welcome the moisture. Okay, we're at 6:17, so we'll give it another 3 minutes, and just to be safe.
Well, Mr. Chairman, it's your portfolio, so while we've got some listeners, it never hurts to remind people as things start warm up, if you plan to do some work in the yard, be sure you call 811 before you dig. It is certainly better than having to call 911 after you make a mistake.
Yeah. Very true, and I think without question, I think there are areas where there really isn't much for frost in the ground, and it's certainly, I think, what little frost we have will be pulled out of the ground in the next, with the mild weather over the next week, but excellent point. Always call 811, get a ticket, even if, whether you're an excavator on a commercial project or a homeowner looking to put a fence in, whether or a mailbox post or planting trees. Always remember to call and get the lines marked so something bad doesn't happen when you're out doing your landscaping projects. And that reminds me, I think, I was had it in my mind that the new corral out at the ranch would be going in May. It might be going in toward the end of March, which invariably now will make it rain or snow, which I would be more than happy with. But I have to remember to follow my own advice and also follow the law by getting a ticket before I begin with that project. But it's going to be either a longer season, although there's a big part of me that hopes I'm delayed due to wet conditions. And the cold invariably will come back. I don't think we're out of the woods yet, but it's a nice reprieve from the last several weeks in particular.
Once more people begin calving, we'll probably get more bad weather.
Mm-hmm. Right, right, invariably, or once the soil temps warm up to the point where spring planting down the road begins. Of course, that is when the moisture will come. So.
Still have nobody on the list.
Okay. Well, it is 6:20, and again, we're going to close the public input session, but any individuals that wish to comment can still do so by contacting the commission. We would welcome your input that way. I'd like to thank everyone for their time. Thank you, Travis, for your presentation from the company's point of view. Thank you to Mr. Weigel and also the individuals that called in earlier today. We really appreciate your input as well as the ones that reached out to the commission prior to this public input session. Commissioner Crisman, anything else to add before we close?
I do not. Thank you.
Okay. We are concluded. Thank you very much, everyone.